This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Unlike our earthly fathers, sometimes we want our earthly fathers to be perfect and they're not. I'm also a dad now and I know that I'm not perfect. But I wanna talk to you today about the fact that you are special. I want to talk to you today about the fact that you are a child of God. And that picture will make sense in a few minutes' time. So, in John 1, verse 12 to 13, we read that He gave us the right to become children. His children. And we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So you were God's idea. You know, sometimes I've heard many people say to me that, sure, I think my life is a mistake. I don't know if God really wanted to make me or create me. And I want to tell you this afternoon that if you feel like that, you're not a mistake. Okay? You were born by God's design, by His will. And you know, it's amazing to think, you know, the last couple of weeks, I thought again about how big the universe is. A friend of mine spoke to me about what scientists are finding out about this life, about this world. And it's so massive, the vast expanse of the universe. And yet, God, the creator of the universe, calls us His children. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? And He says that Jesus calls God our Father, our Abba Father. The one who knows every hair on our heads. Some of us a little bit less than others. But God knows. How is that? He knows every hair on our heads. He formed us in our mother's womb. And then Jesus says, our Father knows what we need before we ask Him. Isn't that incredible? Before we even ask, He already knows what we need. That's the kind of God that we serve. In John 14, verse 18, we read, that we are not orphans, but that our amazing God has come to us and He's made His home inside of us. Right now, God is living inside of you. He's living inside of your heart. And so, you know, we all know that God is love, right? We know God is love. But sometimes we have to stop and ask ourselves, what does this love look like? When we say God is love, sometimes we have this warped idea because we haven't experienced maybe true love. And I want to take you to my favorite passage in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It's my favorite passage of all time. And here it talks about this kind of love that this Greek word is agape or agape, which is the highest form of love that starts with God. Okay, so listen to this. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4. And we read that, so we can put God's name in there. God's love is patient. God's love is kind. His love does not envy or boast. God's love is not arrogant or rude. His love does not insist on His own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Ouch. How's that one? God's love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. God's love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Our God's perfect love never ends, and it never gives up. Isn't that beautiful? That's the kind of Father that we, the kind of God that we serve. And now, John says we are children of this amazing God, of this perfect Father. So, baie keer sê ons, ek is 'n kind van God. But have you ever thought what that really means? Have you ever actually gone and sit and thought, wat beteken dit, dat ek 'n kind is van God? And like I said earlier, maybe your picture of a father, maybe your picture of your earthly father, who wasn't always perfect or who isn't perfect, may have distorted your view of what God is really like. But I want to tell you this afternoon that God can be trusted. That He is your perfect Heavenly Father. That He loves you with a perfect love. That He will never leave you. And that He will never forsake you. So, this picture. Okay, this is a book that we have read to our kids over the years, and it's probably one of my favorite books, children's books. If you've got a child, get the book and read it to them. It's a beautiful story by Max Lucado. And the book is called You Are Special. Daar's ook 'n Afrikaanse weergawe, Jy is Spesiaal. You Are Special. It's a beautiful story. And so I'm going to tell you the story, just briefly. But the story is about wooden people called the Wemmicks. And they were carved by Eli the woodworker. And he's God in the story. Okay? Each Wemmick was different, unique. Some tall, some short, all very different. And every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing, day in and day out. They gave each other stickers. They either gave a golden star or a gray dot. The pretty Wemmicks with smooth wood got gold stars, and the other Wemmicks with rough, chipped wood got gray dots. The talented Wemmicks got stars, and the ones not as talented got gray dots. Now, Punchinello was one of the Wemmicks always getting gray dots. He was always afraid he would do something dumb, something silly. So he would just get more and more gray dots. The other wooden people agreed that he deserved all these gray dots and that he was not a good wooden person. And after a while, Punchinello started believing them. One day, Punchinello met a Wemmick named Lucia. And the funny thing is, she didn't have any stickers on her body, no stars or no gray dots. People tried to put stickers on her, but they wouldn't stick. And then when Punchinello asked Lucia why the stickers did not stick to her, she said, well, that's very easy. I go and see Eli, the woodcarver, every day. And I just sit with him in his workshop. Punchinello immediately also wanted to go see Eli. But then he thought, what if Eli doesn't want to see me? What if he won't like me? Finally, he got up the courage and he went to see Eli. When Eli the woodcarver saw him, he was overjoyed to see Punchinello. And he told him that he'd been waiting for him. Eli even knew his name. And Eli told Punchinello the secret of not letting gray dots stick to him. Eli said to Punchinello, you are very, very special to me. I created you, and I love you dearly. The only thing that is important is what I think. If you can learn to not care what other Wemmicks think about you, those gray dots will never stick to you again. Me? Special? Punchinello laughed. Why? My paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Because you are mine, said Eli. You belong to me. That's why you matter to me. You are very, very special to me. I created you. I love you. Nothing or no one can ever separate you from my love. From that day on, Punchinello learned to trust and rely on Eli. By visiting him every day, and as he put trust in Eli, those gray dots did not stick to him anymore. You can almost end the message there, can't we? But I'll carry on a little bit. Have you ever been told you are special? Maybe not by an earthly person. You know, sometimes our parents are so broken that they can't even tell us that we are special. But I want to tell you this afternoon that you are very, very special. In God's eyes, you are a miracle. Your life is a miracle. You matter. God calls you and I his children. He calls us his special possession. And we find this truth communicated in 1 John chapter 3. And it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Die Afrikaans sê, kyk wat 'n groot liefde die Vader in ons bewys. Hy noem ons kinders van God. En ons is dit ook. Geliefdes, ons is nou reeds kinders van God. Ons weet dat wanneer Jesus kom, ons soos hy sal wees. Ons sal hom sien soos wat hy werklik is. You know, children are very special, aren't they? Jesus het gesê, moenie die kindertjies verhinder. Let the children come to me. And Jesus tells us we need to become like children. Now, a few reasons why children are very special. Firstly, they've got such a simple faith. Who of you have got children? Okay? Quite a few of you. Your child, for some other reason, they've got this unshakable faith. They just come to you and they say, well, this is going to happen. And you think, wow, that's amazing. So children have an incredible simple faith. They are special because of their trust. They trust easily. And they're also vulnerable because they're dependent on you. They are special because of the way they see the world. I love listening to my kids, the way they see the world. There was a story in the Reader's Digest magazine that illustrates this point, that children see things from a different angle. And so the lady that sent the story in, she says, she was driving down the road with her three children on a warm summer's evening. And as they drove, a woman in a convertible ahead of them stood up and waved. The woman was completely naked. As the parent of the children struggled with the shock of her five-year-old, her son said, "Mom, that lady isn't wearing a seatbelt." Okay, I thought that was funny. But kids see things differently, don't they? And we can actually learn so much from our kids. Shelly's dad always says, "No, he learns so much from his kids." And you know, it's so true. And in this passage of Scripture, John refers to believers as children on three occasions. He says in verse 1, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." From this text, you actually can feel God putting his arms around you. You can feel that he's hugging you and he's telling you that you are special. And so as we study this passage of Scripture, we can see a few things coming out of this scripture. We can see that God's children are special, firstly, because they are connected to God. Ons is vasgemaak aan God. And how are we connected to him? Well, firstly, John writes that we are connected to God by birth. He says he gave us the right to become children of God. Hy het ons die reg gegee om kinders van God te word. You know, you cannot enter the family of God by intelligence, by education, by good deeds, or any other method. We have all become God's children because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Because of his amazing grace. John is saying we are connected by a special spiritual birth. And we even read there in John 3 when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he talks about Nicodemus and he says we need to be born again. We have to see the kingdom of God. We have to understand what God has done for us in Christ. Deur Jesus se wedergeborenis word ons deel van God se familie. Hy noem ons geliefdes. Hy noem ons seuns en dogters, kinders van God. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we are connected to God because of his perfect love. It's amazing, you know, when we read there's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. And so often we want to do stuff. But God's perfect love drives away our fear. God's perfect love, it's his goodness that leads us to repentance. And if you look at this word lavished, he says in 1 John 3, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us." Such an amazing word. The dictionary talks about lavish as giving or using a large amount of something. Having a very rich and expensive quality. I think of the perfume that the lady used to wash the feet of Jesus. She didn't waste any. She just, you know, wasted everything on the feet of Jesus. But God lavished. He gave us everything. He gave us every last thing. He couldn't have given us more. He gave us his life. And so we are connected to God in Christ because of his incredible love for us. And then we're also connected to God because of our dependence. We are so dependent on God. We realize, I suppose, the longer we walk this journey, we realize how dependent we actually are on God. Ons is heeltemal afhankelijk van God. I am recently, I've had this picture, God just showed me this picture of, you know, we, we read about the fact that God holds the world in his hands. And I saw this picture of God holding the entire universe in his two hands. And in one sense, it made you feel so small, but in another sense, you felt so incredibly safe and loved. And we read in Psalm 95, I love this passage of scripture, about God holding everything in his hands. Psalm 95, verse 3 to 7, it says, "For the Lord is the great God, the King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him." In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. Everything. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. We, the flock under his care. It's amazing to me that, you know, that God made everything and yet he would care for us. It's just incredible. And we know the scripture so well in Acts 17, verse 28. Luke writes, "For in him, Christ, we live, we move, and we have our being." Where can we go to escape the love of God? Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. And so ons is afhanklik van die Here. And there's a few things that we are dependent on God for. Firstly, we are dependent on God for our salvation. Acts 4 verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." The name of Jesus, the one who saves us. And I love that scripture in John 12 verse 32 where Jesus says, He will draw every man and woman unto himself. What an amazing promise. That he will do it. Jesus will draw people unto himself. It's a phenomenal thought. So firstly, as a child of God, I'm dependent on God for my salvation. I need God. I can't save myself. As a child of God, secondly, I'm dependent on him for my provision. Die Here beloof, hy gaan vir my voorsien. Filippense 4 vers 19 sê Paulus, "En my God sal in elke behoefte van julle ryklik voorsien, volgens sy wonderbaarlike rykdom in Christus Jesus." Do you need to be provided for this afternoon? The Bible says nothing is impossible for God, that he will look after us. In Matthew 6 verse 8, Jesus says, I say, "Julle Vader weet wat julle nodig het nog voordat julle vir hom gevra het." Is it nie amazing? And yet he says we must ask him because he wants us to step out in faith. But God knows right now this afternoon, he knows each and every one of us intimately. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going through. And he knows what we need. And yet he says we need to ask him by faith. So as a child of God, I'm also dependent on him for my strength. In Philippians 4 verse 13, Paul writes, "I can do all things through him, Christ, who gives me strength." This week we had a little Bible study with our kids and we just said, "Guys, you know what? We believe in you. Benjamin, Josephine, we believe in you, but God believes in you even more. And you can believe that you can do it because Jesus says in him, you can do all things." Isn't that amazing? And then as a child of God, I'm also dependent on him for my growth. You know, we all need to grow, but you know that we need to grow spiritually. We need to grow mentally and emotionally. And I love the prayer that Paul prays to the church in Thessalonica. He prays, he ends the epistle like this. He says, "I pray that God would sanctify you through and through. That God would sanctify your body, soul, and spirit." And so we need God to help us grow. We're dependent on him as his children. So we said that as God's children, we are connected to him. But then secondly, we also, as God's children, the Bible says we have God's character. Isn't that amazing? We become like God. Have you ever noticed your kids? Have you seen? Kids,
do things and say things that the parents do and say.
And God says, as we are born into Christ and as we learn about who God really is, we become like Him. And that is one of the central teachings of 1 John, that we will reflect our Father's character. And firstly, we can reflect, we can basically hold on to the fact that we have victory over sin. Because we are in Christ. And it's so beautifully put in 1 John 2 verse 1 that if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. A stands in. He stands in the gap for us. And Father God looks through Christ at us. And He sees you and I blameless, spotless. Hy skryf hierso. Dit skrywe ek aan julle, my liewe kinders. Dit is nie mooi nie, my liewe kinders. Dat julle nie moet sondig nie. Maar as een van julle sondig, het ons vir Jesus Christus, die regverdige, ons voorspraak by die Vader. You know what the challenge is? God never ever forgets that you are His child. The challenge is we forget that we are children of God. We sometimes walk out of our house and we forget that we are children of the Most High God. God never forgets. He's not surprised. But sometimes we forget that we are children of God, that we are His special possession. And at the end of the day, you know, we actually need to be reminded of who we are. And that is why, I suppose, why we come together as believers, why we read the Word, to remember what God has done for us. And often when we pray, it's a good thing to pray God's promises, to say, God, thank you. You know, I think the most powerful prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. Nee, Here, geef my dit, geef my dat. My Lord, thank you that I am free in Christ. Thank you, Father, that you've adopted me into your family. Thank you that in you I can live and move and have my being. Thank you that you've given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And we can go on forever like that. Then the character of God's children is also displayed in how we reflect God's love. You know, God has called us to be salt and light. He's calling us to maturity. He's calling us to be sanctified. God wants to use us. He wants to use us as co-workers to go and be salt and to be light, to bring flavor where flavor is needed, to bring light in the darkness. And we read in 1 John 3 verse 16, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And now we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And so, you know, when you look at there's four main words of love in the Greek New Testament. And this agape is God's perfect, self-giving, sacrificial love. It's like a self-emptying love. Jesus gave every last thing that He could give us. He left nothing behind. He didn't keep anything behind for Himself. He gave everything for us. And this is this perfect, sacrificial love. And John is saying that God wants to teach us to also learn to love others with this sacrificial love. That we can also learn to be less selfish. That we can also learn to put others before ourselves. And so it's amazing. I love the Gospels. If we go and read that Jesus loved the outcasts. He was always found amongst sinners, lepers, the immoral, the racially mixed, the rejected people. That's where Jesus was found. That's where He was hanging out. It just shows me something amazing about the heart of God, the kind of God that we're serving. And so the next thing is that as children, we can have a godly confidence. Not an arrogance, but a confidence based on what God says about us. Based, you know, in the Bible, God says He swears by Himself. Isn't that amazing? God swears by Himself. He cannot break His own promise. He will never, ever break His promises to you and to me. And so John says that we can have confidence in a few areas. He says we can have confidence when Jesus returns. He says in 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in Him. That when He appears, we may have confidence in Him. ons kan met vertroue vas staan. Ons kan weet dat die Here ons gered het. Dat hy ons uit die duisternis getrek het, dat hy ons gebring het in sy lig. We can also have confidence in our future. In 1 John 3 verse 2 we read, we know that when he, Christ, is revealed, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he really is. I love that passage in Jeremiah we know so well. That God has got a plan and a purpose for us. He's got a future for us. Vir elke liewe een van julle, vir elke een van ons wat hier sit, al voel jy al bietjie ouer en jy voel, I haven't hit my purpose yet. God has got a plan and a purpose for you. There is no one like you. You are totally and utterly unique. There is no one with your DNA. There's no one with your talents, with your gifts, with your abilities. Jy is speciaal. And God has got a special plan for your life. In that same chapter, that love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, we read that Paul says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, on that day, we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as God knows me fully right now. We can also have confidence in prayer. When we pray to God, we can be confident that He hears our prayers, that He hears our petitions. We read in 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And then 1 John 5 verse 14 to 15, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will hear us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. And as we said earlier in Matthew 6 verse 8, we read, our Father already knows what we need before we even ask. And then the next thing we can have confidence in, we can have confidence in knowing the will of God. You know, so often we think, I wonder what God's will is. God's will is actually not difficult to know. We know that God wants us to love one another. We know in John 16 verse 13 it says that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. He will guide us. He will be our helper to know what the will of God is in every situation that we face. We can live by faith. We don't have to live with fear. We are kids of the King. We have an incredible inheritance. And so this afternoon, as we come to the end of this message, I want to encourage you this afternoon. I want to tell you that you are special. I really believe God wants you to know this afternoon that you are totally and utterly unique. And because you're alive, the world will be different. Your life matters, and you are here for a plan and for a purpose to make a difference in the lives of your family, in your kids' lives, in your community's lives, in wherever you move. And I even want to say there are some of you sitting here with talents that you haven't tapped into. There's potential inside of you that God wants you to realize that needs to come out, that He wants to use for His glory, that He says you are a co-worker with Christ. Do not shrink back. Do not believe the lies of the enemy that you are not good enough. God is saying to you this afternoon, you are good enough because of Christ. You can do all things. And I almost want to put a challenge out there. When you go home tonight, perhaps go and take a pen and paper and write down those passions again. You know, whatever they are. Maybe it's singing, cooking, gardening, teaching, training, equipping. Write those things down and pray and say, God, help me. You've gifted me. You've given me a passion. I want to be a co-worker with you. Thank you. What you say about me is that I'm special. So, just as we close, perhaps we can get the communion ready. It's okay? Maybe just close your eyes for a minute. I want to ask you, how's it going with you? Maybe like in the story by Max Licardo, you've also been feeling like Punchinello. Maybe you've not been feeling loved by God. Or maybe you've not felt special. Maybe you've allowed the world around you, the people around you, to stick black dots on you. Maybe you've been so concerned about the opinions of other people that you've shrunk it back, that you've not stepped up to the plate and said, God, here I am. Use me for your glory. I also want to be a co-worker with you. Well, this afternoon I'm telling you, God is saying, you are incredibly special to him. You are unique. Your fingerprint is unique. Your DNA is unique. He's formed you in your mother's womb. He knows every day of your life. He holds your life together in his hands. He will never leave. He will never forsake you. He's given you a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. He's given you every spiritual blessing in Christ. He's given you everything for life and godliness. And so, Father, this afternoon, I thank you. Father, I thank you for what you've done in Jesus. Father, thank you that you've pulled us out of darkness. Into your light, into your light. Thank you for freedom in Christ. Thank you that we've been adopted into your family. Here, thank you that next ons ideaal kan bring. That nothing can separate us from your love, and your life, and your light. And so, Lord, this afternoon I pray for each person here. Father, thank you that you're touching hearts deeply right now, even now. That you breathe life. That you speak life over every person. That you're giving back what the enemy may have stolen over the years. Thank you, Lord, that new life will come because of your word today. Thank you, Lord, that new potential will come. That we will have an army of new co-workers walking with Christ. That you live inside of us, that in you we live, we move, we have our being. Wherever we may go, you are there with us, inside us. Thank you, Father, that you say we are special this afternoon, that we are loved, we're accepted. And Lord, we thank you this afternoon for we can remember what you've done for us. Now, Father, your agape love, Lord. Your self-giving love, Lord, you didn't hold anything back, Lord. You gave everything that you had for us when you gave your life on the cross. Yourself. You gave your life so we can have life. So we can have freedom. And Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. Yeah, thank you, Father, that in Christ, because of your stripes that you took for us, we are healed. Because your body was broken for us, we are healed. Let's eat together as we remember what Jesus has done for us. Grateful hearts. Again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you your blood flowed for us. Thank you that your blood speaks a better word. Thank you that your blood cleanses us from all transgressions, that you bus on school and nearly went. We're so grateful. We say thank you, Jesus. Let's bring together with grateful hearts. Something about you, Lord, about your amazing love, about your heart for us, your character. Father, I pray for each person this afternoon. Thank you that you go before us. Thank you, God, for new life. Thank you for lives that will be changed this week because we were here. Thank you that you go before us, that you go with us. Before we meet again, keep us safe. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.